how tikanga is involved in state law currently, and I use the example of Rahui as an example of how some of our tikanga is actually being implemented by Wiley New Zealanders without actually realising, although it's not in, established within the context of LAW, it's still nonetheless more or less adhered to by Wiley New Zealand. Would that be one example?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good example of that idea I was talking about, where people in this country want to have laws that make sense to us. And I think that's a really great example of Rahui, where people generally accept that it's something that's important to this country. And what a great sort of example too of laws that, I mean, the tikanga is law, L-A-W, and it's a really good example where you don't need the power of the state to stand behind it. It's that kind of law where people just accept it's the right thing to do. In the case of Rahui, really, that's not something that's provided by state law as such. It's just something that Māori are articulating. So I think that's an example of where tikanga is operating in a Māori sphere, but it's just applying to everybody. There are other examples of tikanga where it's been incorporated into legislation. For example, Oranga Tamariki legislation, the Resource Management Act, and so on.
Would the Uruwera legislation around Uruwera and the Whanganui River, would that also be will they be examples?
Yeah, they're slightly different examples again. So the references to kaitiakitanga and other tikanga principles in the Resource Management Act are broadly applicable, under that act. So Māori people can draw on those principles across the motu. The legislation for Te Awa Tupua, Te Whanganui River and Te Uruwera are specific elements of settlements for those iwi. They're very interesting. Those pieces of legislation are examples of state law accepting a tikanga framework to apply within a settlement context. So that sort of legal personhood for the whenua in the case of Te Uruwera and the awa in the case of the Whanganui River. So those are examples of tikanga frameworks being used and being recognised and accepted by the state, but primarily for the benefit of Māori in those examples. I think one of the challenges for the law concerns how we then, again, it goes through that sort of in principle acceptance, but how do we actually make it real? So when we refer to tikanga principles in legislation, and there's a dispute and it goes to court, how is the court going what sources is the court going to rely on? How's the court going to take evidence? So there are a lot of practical issues arising in relation to the implementation of tikanga in state law, and that's really sort of the focus of the project that we're going to be doing at the commission.
So I gave the example of Rahui, and then you talked about the personhood. So obviously then there are different levels, different elements that's involved in this, depending on how we determine or identify, define tikanga and where that is in state law. Is that a Māori way of doing it? Because there would be some critics that would say, wouldn't it be best for iwi, for hapu, whānau hapu iwi, to determine which parts of tikanga should be enshrined in state law, and shouldn't state law be reconfigured to fit into the context of tikanga rather than the other way around?
That's a really great question, Claudette. And we don't really have the answers to that. I think our way of thinking about it is to just accept that there is that context that you're talking about, and that tikanga has its independent existence and operation within Te Ao Māori. And the state or the state legal system ought to be supportive of that and ought to facilitate that as part of its obligations under Te Tiriti. There is a separate sort of question of whether or not the general law that applies to everybody, and let's face it, we need to have some laws that can be easily administered at a national level. How do we make those laws better so that they work for everybody? So I can, you know, I can see how I can see how people would be concerned if the only answer was to sort of suck in all this tikanga and just hold it all within the state. That's certainly not what we're interested in doing. So there are different aspects to it. I think we need to remember that the Crown has obligations under Te Tiriti to support that context, the hapū and iwi context. So what can the state do through legislation or otherwise to allow that to happen? But what other changes can be made to develop the legal system generally for everybody's benefit? I think that's my sort of summary answer to a very difficult question.
Well, big job for Justice Christian Futter then. Obviously, he's got 12 months in which to do this. Is he just kicking it off?
Yeah, he will start in October and spend a year writing a study paper which will attempt to address these really difficult questions that we've been talking about. There's an awful lot of mahi that still needs to be done. I mean, that's not the complete answer to everything, but it will hopefully help provide clarity around the kind of framework that we can operate in and how we what are some of the steps that we need to take for that sort of development of the law to really be done well.
Well, thank you so very much for joining us. We wish you all the very best, and to Christian as well
Sure.
too. We look forward to
Yeah.
seeing how this all rolls out. Quite exciting times to see this happen. I do understand that there will be issues for our Māori in wanting or not wanting to have tikanga involved in anything to do with state, let alone state law. But so very interesting times. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Kia ora, tēnā koe, Claudette.
Tēnā
Tēnā
koe,
koe.
Amokura. Kia ora. It's Amokura Kawharu. She is the president of Te Akamatua o Te Ture, the Law Commission. Wonderful to kōrero with her. And Justice Whata, Christian Whata, Law Commissioner, starts his research this October.